You're listening to Sunnyside Up, a B2B podcast that brings you the juiciest insights from go-to-market leaders and practitioners.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Sunnyside Up. I'm your host, Chris Moody. Today, I'm very excited to talk to Don McGuire on Marketing 2.0, AI-powered growth strategies. Don is the CMO of Qualcomm, and Don, I'd love for you to tell everyone about yourself.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It's an exciting time, so I'm excited to talk about the topic matter today. I'm the CMO of Qualcomm, and I'm responsible for all marketing functions here at the company, shepherding all of our brands and products and telling our story. It's a great job. It's a dream job. And so I'm excited to talk more about that as well today and just, you know, happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here. And I know a lot of folks would love to learn about your journey. You've had a very successful run and some great CMO roles. So we'd love to learn from your experience if there are any valuable insights or takeaways that you can offer to the marketers who are listening.
Wow, sure. You know, nothing like a little pressure to start things off. I kind of have a pretty pragmatic view of the world, but I think people just need to remember a couple core principles. You know, first of all, stay true to yourself, who you are as a person and your capabilities and kind of what you want to get out of your career or your job, and make sure that you can stay in control of that. I've always believed in controlling your own destiny and not letting it be controlled for you or by others or even the company that you work for, because oftentimes that can happen. And I think that's how people get lost. So just staying in control of your destiny, understanding who you are and where you want to go in your career, I think is really important. And then also just be open to opportunity. I think that fear can enter into people's minds a lot across the spectrum of different things. And your work life is one of those areas. And I think just from my perspective, I've always been very open to opportunity. When the window has opened up, I've sort of jumped through first and asked questions later. And sometimes that works really well. And sometimes, you know, you don't get what you bargained for. But I think all in aggregate, it has kind of helped shape who I am. And it's made me a better marketer and a better stakeholder, a better partner, a better colleague, and a better leader. And so we are the sum of our experiences. And I've worked in some very positive work environments and experiences with some amazing leaders and some amazing mentors. And I've experienced the other side of that as well. And collectively, that actually forms who you are and it makes you who you are. And so it's all in aggregate good, even though at the time, some might seem good and some might seem bad. So that's kind of just overall my perspective on things. And so I would just say, you know, be open to opportunity, stay in control of your destiny, and you are the sum of your experiences.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think that applies for relationships too. I was telling my 12-year-old yesterday, he has a girlfriend at 12, and I was trying to explain some of the, look, you're going to learn as you get older what you love and what you don't love. This is not the end of the world. So very similar to your advice there.
Exactly.
All right. Could you provide a little bit of an inside look into the marketing structure at Qualcomm and how the org operates?
Absolutely. So we're a 50,000 person Fortune kind of 50-ish company. We've been around for next year, it'll be 40 years. We are a technology company full of amazing inventors and engineers. Sometimes that's not so great for the function of marketing, because when you work for an engineering-driven company, marketing that is not necessarily viewed as important versus if, you know, I was in the CPG world or something like that. So I would say historically, we have not been brand led or storytelling led, but that has shifted over the last, I'd say, 10 years. I've been here 7.5 years now, CMO for 2.5, and we've made huge strides in understanding that marketing is important, telling our story is important, and making sure that we understand the audiences that influence how our products are perceived or how we're viewed in the world. And connecting with those audiences is important. And we need to not only take human capital and apply it towards those exercises of storytelling and building awareness and affinity, but also investment. And so that's kind of been my chief charge or charter along with my team, is evolving the company's thinking around how important the function of marketing is, and storytelling should be a part of who we are, because it manifests itself in so many different ways. Whether you're talking to investors, whether you're talking to customers, consumers, or a regulatory audience or a policymaking audience, it's really important that you can tell your story in a way that's meaningful, relevant, understandable, because at the end of the day, you want to build success for the business. And as a CMO, I've always believed that you need to tie your marketing objectives to business objectives. And marketing isn't just for marketing's sake. It has to be tied to a business objective. And because we're all here to drive business success. And marketing is no different than that. So that's the approach I've taken at Qualcomm, and my team has taken at Qualcomm. And we've come so far in a short period of time, really, to kind of where we sit now, both from a company perspective and the Qualcomm master brand ethos, as well as from a Snapdragon perspective, which is more of our consumer facing brand. Just super stoked about kind of where we've been and where we're at now and where we're headed along that journey. So it makes it exciting for me to come to work every day, for sure.
I love that. That's awesome. And we're going to jump to Snapdragon in just a second. I have a question for you there. But you mentioned the evolving your thinking. And we know that in the space of marketing technology, to be even more specific, things evolve every couple of years. It completely changes. We have to relearn a bunch of new things. So how are you helping your teams and the brands you've worked with to adapt and stay balanced as things change?
So interesting, there's different parallels happening, right? So we have this evolution of the way we think, the evolution of marketing's role in the organization. That's all happening here at Qualcomm. That may or may not be unique to us, depending on, you know, kind of what you're talking about. But it is a layer of evolution that we've been experiencing. So there's a lot of learning, a lot of behavioral sort of change or skills development that go along with that. On top of that, we're now operating in a world that moves at the speed of TikTok. And that's a feverent pace. And keeping up with that world is daunting. And that's where I think AI, which we're going to talk about today as well, will be game changing, especially generative AI. And the tools that are being developed will help redefine, help revolutionize, and help actually drive success in areas specifically like marketing, moving into the future. And so I'm very bullish on that. And we can talk more about that. But there's different layers of our evolution. Some of them are going to be technology driven and digital transformation driven. And then some of them are just behavioral driven as we mature as a business, as we diversify as a company and move into new sectors with new products. There's that natural evolution that comes along with that. And organizationally, you have to be nimble. And you have to, it's almost like you're a little bit of a Play-Doh kind of, where you have to be, you can remold yourself and you can kind of be pliable and move around. I don't think that there is a structural discipline that is so set in stone that doesn't have to move or shift with the changes in the world. And on top of that, you know, the crazy world we live in right now, which is absolutely insane, right? And so many vectors. And you got to deal with all of that as well, because you're the front-facing organization, or the most front-facing organization within the company. And so you have to deal with all those things as well. So there's kind of multi-layers. It's kind of like a layer cake where there's so many things we have to deal with, and we're dealing with them in different ways.
Yeah, so true. I mean, things are crazy. So I love how you're approaching that with your team. You mentioned Snapdragon earlier. So I saw recently that you've released the Snapdragon Sonic. Could you tell us a little more about that and how that's going to impact the brand?
Sure. So on our journey, along our journey to build Snapdragon into a global consumer sort of culture brand, which is a huge, daunting task, by the way. I'm super excited to be given that task, but it's also a little nerve-wracking at times, especially because we have a product that you can't buy on its own. You end up buying our product through somebody else's product. But what the amazing thing is about, and I don't like the term ingredient brand, because I don't think it does our product justice, our technology and what our little platforms that fit on the, you know, the tip of your pinky do to bring experiences to people through their devices and their device experiences is just nothing short of amazing. So I don't want to undersell what we do by putting us in this category of ingredient brand. But the fact is, you can't tangibly go in and buy a Snapdragon. So that creates a challenging layer as a marketer to figure out how to build this kind of global brand ethos within the minds of consumers. How do you get them to care about what's inside and what's powering their device experiences? How do you get them to understand that your pictures are so amazing because of us? Your audio experience when you're listening to Spotify is amazing because of us. And your ability to watch 8K video, HDR anywhere, anytime is because of us. And so that storytelling, that nuanced way of getting that in front of consumers and doing it in a way that's not disruptive of our partners is a really interesting challenge. I think we've done a really good job. I have the honor and pleasure of working with some amazing brand partners for which our technology brings them into new spaces, and we give them kind of tech cred because their brands are not historically known as tech brands. For example, Louis Vuitton, some of the auto brands like BMW and Cadillac, and you know, our friends at Samsung, et cetera, et cetera. We get this great opportunity to work with these great brands, and we are part of their story, as well as we have our own story to tell. So we do a kind of a combination of how we tell that story and how we bring the brand to life through our partners and by doing our own things. So speaking of how we're building out the Snapdragon brand ethos on our own, one of the things that we're trying to do as we move along this journey of creating, you know, sort of a culture brand for Snapdragon and moving beyond tech specs and feature lists, but really affinity for the brand itself so that people want and need and desire to have their experience powered by Snapdragon, regardless of the details below it, is how do we build affinity for the brand? And that comes in forms that are both visual and audio. I've been a big believer in sonic branding for a long time, based on my Intel pedigree. One of the companies that did sonic branding so well for so long was Intel. And I'm sure if I hummed a few bars of different sonics, you would know exactly what brands I'm talking about. And so sonic branding can be a very, very important and effective tool in building out affinity for your brand, along with iconography, along with how you talk, you know, to people and what your the language that you use, along with color and photography, all those types of stimuli. Sonic can be something that is additive to that and help you along that journey of kind of building brand affinity. And so we're super excited. We went through a year-long research in developing a sonic to go along with the Snapdragon brand, along with our amazing Fireball icon, which I think is somewhere here behind me, as well as with the storytelling and the campaign platform that we've built for Snapdragon, which is called Power to Move. We've now introduced sonic. And we did a year-long research globally around the world, testing out different sounds, different audio sequences, different combinations, some more melodic, some less melodic. And you have to, you know, you have to realize we're a global brand. So what works in China may not work in the US, may not work in Europe. So we have to find something that's truly global. And so we worked with Made Music in New York, who's responsible for building some of the best sonics in history. And we've developed a new sonic and we're launching it here to the world over the next couple of weeks. And you'll see it first manifest itself in partner advertising that we're doing with Samsung in the US for the launch of the Galaxy S24 Ultra and some partnership marketing that we're doing. So super excited about it. It's both short form and it will be longer form. And we'll be integrating the sonic into different scores, whether it's background music for a social media video or TikTok video, whether it's walk on, walk off music at an event, those types of things, the sonic will be integrated. And to be successful with Sonic and to immediately build that affinity, like I know that this is Netflix, I know that this is McDonald's, right, is consistency, consistency, consistency. And you have to build that consistency in order to then drive that affinity and that recognition and that recall. And so we're just starting on that, but we're excited about where it can take us, along with how we use our Fireball consistency and how we, you know, how the Snapdragon brand itself appears visually consistently. So it's just basic discipline and brand building in some ways. But I think sonics are interesting and very excited about introducing ours to the world.
I love that. I love that. It gives me a lot to think about too. It is such an ownable thing, to your point. You can hum a couple bars and everyone will know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly.
All right. You mentioned AI earlier. So let's jump back into that. We know that everyone's talking about AI. Some completely understand how to use it. Some are trying to figure it out. But what are some of your thoughts about how modern marketing leaders can effectively harness AI tools to improve their business?
Well, first and foremost, we're really early on in the advent of generative AI. I mean, AI has been running in the background for 10, 15 years, right? It's been making experiences better. It's making our pictures better. It's been doing lots of things. But the advent of Gen AI really sort of thrusted AI into the forefront. It was sort of the press release for AI, so to speak, when ChatGPT launched. So all these tools, and they're coming fast and furious. It's a little overwhelming, and it can be a little overwhelming. we're in a unique position where we've been researching, developing, and commercializing AI technology for 15 years. But as a CMO of a large enterprise, I also have to be looking at generative AI as a tool set and how do we deploy. You know, if you've kind of read the news and the headlines, or if you've talked to people regarding adoption of Gen AI at the enterprise level, you kind of hear this a similar theme of 80% of enterprises don't know what they're doing or how to deploy, or they're afraid, or they're worried about, you know, different sort of things. And then 20% are like, we're in, let's go. And they're first movers. I'm happy to say we're in that 20% group, but we've taken a real pragmatic approach to how we deploy tools. We've taken a hive approach to the deployment of them. We brought all stakeholders together, whether it's legal, IT, you know, marketing, sales, whoever, because everybody's got their own concerns and their own needs. You know, legal wants to make sure we don't get sued based on how a model is trained. IT wants to make sure we don't get hacked. So there's all these concerns, which are totally valid and justified, but there's also this urge and this need to deploy some of these tools and get them working for us. I mentioned earlier, you know, the world is moving at the speed of TikTok. And so how do I can't even catch up. If I had to hire 500 people, right, to keep up with the content cycles that we need to now produce at, I still wouldn't be able to keep up. So these tools are going to be game changing. We've deployed Writer in across my organization, amazing tool for copy development to kickstart the creative process around developing copy, developing whether it's press releases or also product naming and ideation around that. Writer has been a game changing tool, amazing tool. Also, we've deployed as an enterprise Copilot with sort of super users, and we're starting to experience Microsoft Copilot as a part of our PC, daily PC experience or Teams and Microsoft 365 experience. And then we are now just deploying Firefly from Adobe. And I'm super excited about the suite of Adobe tools that have integrated Firefly, again, to accelerate the creative process, to help with ideation, to really drive efficiency and scale to our content development process, whether it's taking the time out of editing, taking the time out of the mundane tasks that people spend days and weeks on and turning them into tasks that can be done in seconds. It's game changing. And the cadence for which we produce content and deliver content to our audiences can become so much faster. And our ability to actually be more creative, do more things is going to accelerate exponentially as we get really in the flow of using these tools. So that's kind of one piece of the puzzle. The other piece is, imagine if you could free up, you know, 40% of your time and your bandwidth that you would spend on a daily basis just doing mundane tasks with Gen AI tools. Imagine what you could do as far as increased production, but also, you know, we all talk about as people who go to work every day, oh, I wish I had more time for career development. I wish I had more time to take that training class or that seminar. I wish I had more time to go to that event and learn from my peers. Or simply, I wish I could actually strike work-life balance. And we all have to say it. It's a buzzword. But if you ask, you know, my team or any other team, I think people would be like, oh, there's no way I can strike work-life balance. There's just too much to do and not enough time. And so these tools are going to actually give people that opportunity. So when you hear the narrative about job loss and AI is going to replace this person, that person, it's, in my opinion, BS, right? It's not meant to replace people and jobs. It's meant to replace tasks so that you can become better at your job. You can become more productive. You can do other things. You can become a better critical thinker, right? Whatever it is, that's what Gen AI tools are going to do for us in our work life. It's really going to just break open this cycle of trying to keep your head above water, right? To, you know, surfing the waves. And so that's what I'm excited about. Like I said, Firefly Writer, we've deployed different chat bots. We're using GitHub Gen AI tools for coding in our engineering teams. So there's lots of tools that we've deployed across the organization. We've done it in a very thoughtful way. We're protecting ourselves. We're protecting our CCI and our IP while deploying these tools. So people might be like, you're too positive on it. But I'm telling you, from a realism perspective, from someone who's actually deploying these tools, I couldn't be happier about it. And we're going to put these to work for us, and we're going to be better marketers for it. And we're going to deliver better for the company and drive more business success because of the deployment of these tools.
Yeah, that's great. And it's fun to play with. Every time I get a new AI
tool, it's fun to play with, right?
I mean, I have so much fun. Yeah, we just built a prompt guide to your point. I mean, we have legal involved to approve use cases. So we're doing a lot of stuff like that as well. I was going to ask about dispelling some common misconceptions. You already did that. You nailed that in the previous question. So one more question before we move into kind of our lightning round, just to close this out. For
Sure.
marketers who may be just starting to use AI or AI-powered marketing technology, what are some of the tips and insights you would give them to make sure they're thinking about it the right way?
First, experiment, give some of these a try in a controlled environment, get familiar, get comfortable with them. It takes time and it is a shift. You know, the world's going to become those with AI skills and those without. I don't think you want to be in that latter group. So I think taking the time to learn how to use these tools, once you get past the unfamiliar, it's a huge relief and they just become a part of your workflow. So I'd say experiment, just give it a try, jump in a little bit. And I think from an enterprise perspective, you know, approach the deployment of tools in a very pragmatic way. Don't be afraid. Again, don't let fear kind of govern the day. And maybe take a hive approach like we did. Bring all the stakeholders to the table that have concerns or that have needs and talk about it and then figure out a pathway towards deployment. And I think that's, you know, that's a good place to start to kind of, you know, get you on your journey. There's so many tools. I know it could be overwhelming. You know, it's really important that you understand how these tools are trained, what the algorithms are, what data they're using, and then bring in your subject matter experts from IT, from legal, right, from across the board to help you define tools, pick the best ones, and then, you know, just kind of go for it. That would be sort of my advice right now. There's lots of free online courses out there. Most of these Gen AI tools, just in their digital environments, teach you how to use them. Writer's a good example of that. You know, play around, get comfortable. And I think once you do that, the adoption curve will accelerate.
Great. Awesome. Okay, we're in the home stretch. Last few things. We covered good reads and good people, and then how folks can get in touch with you. So first, is there a book, blog, newsletter, website, or video that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, we're a global company, as you know, and one of the markets that's important to us, but also a market that's super interesting globally is China. Outside of the geopolitical, you know, badminton match between our country and theirs, China is a massive economic powerhouse, a massive market to bring your products into or to market your products in. And there's a great book by a gentleman whose name is Zach Deichwald called Young China. And so if you're looking to market to Gen Z in China, I highly recommend this book. It brings some amazing insights beyond the narratives, beyond the news cycles, beyond the headlines to really gain an understanding of young China and the youth in China and what their perspectives are, how they look at both their country, their culture, the rest of the world, and brands, and how they engage and addresses things like loyalty and international brands versus national brands and things like that. So it's a great read. It's super insightful. If you are a marketer that has to either enter the Chinese market or you've been marketing in the Chinese market and you're concerned about that next generation audience and how to best drive success, I highly recommend Young China.
Great suggestion there. Are there any inspirational people that come to mind in the B2B space that we should bring on the show?
Wow, gosh, so many. You know, I get the privilege of being able to network with some amazing CMOs, whether it's through the Forbes network or Wall Street Journal CMO network or whatever. A couple of my favorites, Carla Hassan, who's the CMO of JPMorgan Chase. Amazing. I've seen her on stage. I've had the opportunity to meet her a couple of times. I just think she's an amazing leader. She's got amazing perspective on the role of the CMO. So if you have a chance to either invite her onto the show, I think she'd be a great person. Drew Panettiere is the CMO of Pfizer. He's got a great background beyond Pfizer at Google and other places. And what he's doing at Pfizer, I think, is from a reinvention and an evolution of what marketing can be at a large pharmaceutical company, you know, post the COVID vaccine world, which really thrusted Pfizer into the forefront of people's minds. He's got some really great insights. And he's kind of B2B, B2C. And so I think he could bring an interesting perspective as well. I think Drew would be great as well. So there's a couple people that I think, you know, would be awesome on the show, and your listeners would get a lot out of a exchange with them for sure.
Outstanding. Thank you. And then the most important question of all, how can our listeners get in touch with you after the
Just don't drive by my house. No, it's
podcast?
you can follow me on X at Donnie Mac. DONNYMAC on LinkedIn as well. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, as you said earlier. So you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Pretty easy.
Love it. Don, thank you so much for your time. Really excited to talk with you today. You're doing amazing work. So thank you for being on the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Love to come back anytime. So just reach out.
Thanks so much.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.